If you were able to walk into a room confident that you would be well received, seen, heard, and appreciated by others, and all it took was a few changes in how you navigate your everyday relationships, would you be willing to make those changes? It is possible to be both fully authentic and to experience the best relationships of your life. Now, here is the host of Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Mikayla Gaffin-Stone.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Navigating Complicated Relationships. Sometimes I get into some pretty heavy stuff and I throw a lot of information at you. And then other times I will interview somebody who's really amazing, who takes us on a different trajectory altogether. And that's what you're getting today. I'm Mikayla Gaffin-Stone. I'm your host. I'm a board-certified behavior analyst, a nutrition coach. I do all kinds of things. And I also love books. And that's like my downtime is reading things such as, you know, Epic Magic, Wild Places. And I have a great fondness for dragons. I'm just going to throw that out there. So today's guest is Katie Cross. And holy smokes, if you haven't checked out her website yet, seriously get there. There's books for days. You can read from now until the end of the year, and she'll have more stuff there. So you'll be ready for more. So today's guest is going to talk about her process, her books. She's a powerhouse. She publishes new full-length books every week, which is like crazy to me. I don't even know how you do that. And I'm going to want to hear some tips from that. And there's an audio book every first Friday of the month. Captivating fantasy and a world called Alcara. Is that pronounced correctly? Alcara. And, you know, I want to hear that because when I'm out of the world of behavior and all things sciencey and serious, I want some fantasy. I want some dragons. I want magic. So Katie Cross, welcome to the episode. Thank you so much for being here. And please introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are, where you are. And I'll ask you after that about your journey into becoming this prolific author.
Yeah, thanks. Wow, an introduction like that. I feel like I'll just listen to you talk about me all day. I'm Katie Cross. I love dragons. I love fantasy. I love books. I love reading. So we have so much in common, you and I. I live in the mountains of Montana in like the northwest of the United States. I'm about 3 hours from Canada, about an hour from Idaho. And I live on this beautiful plot of land next to the National Forest with 4 dogs, 2 kids, and my husband. And I write fantasy books literally all day long. That's my job. It's my day job. I started life as a pediatric nurse, and then I went into writing full-time as soon as I could. So it is the most fun I've ever had in my life, and I love this job. I could talk to you about books and fantasy all day, so I'm excited to chat today.
That's awesome, and guess what? I'm also a nurse. My background is tropical diseases rather than kids, but, ooh, you know, we have nursing in common as well. Oh yeah, love tropical diseases, but that's a whole other podcast. I get into all kinds of gory stuff, you know, as nurses do, right? We like the gory stuff. So how did you first get started in this? When did you realize that you had a talent for it? Because this is a talent. This is not something that you slave at. It's a flow, right?
So I loved books as a kid. I had a little bit of a troubled childhood, and I would just escape into books. I remember The Last Unicorn. I remember Matilda. I remember all these amazing like pillars of fiction. And I would write my own stories in my journal. I remember in first grade, as young as that, like just sitting in my room and writing these stories out. And it helped me just process my world and have somewhere to go. And so I just always did it. I was a little shy about it. I think a lot of people that write can relate to just, I didn't really want anyone to know about it. It was just something that I did for me. It was love. It was passion. And then I got my nursing degree when I was 21. I got my bachelor's, and for fun, I was still like right on night shifts. It was all passion. It was all just really, really fun. And then I married the military, and my nursing career took a big fat nosedive, which at the time was super traumatic. Like I identified so much as being a pediatric charge nurse that to just lose that felt like the ground went out from under me. And I had do. I was in the middle of southern Alabama, and I just had to figure something out. So I was like, well, I really like writing. I'll just work on this book idea. So I wrote a book. It was terrible. My father-in-law read it, and he's like, he couldn't like think of what to say. And I was like, oh, that's bad, right? So I decided to like write this other book, and I took a prompt that was at this online forum. It's a little bit like Wattpad, if anyone's familiar with that, where a lot of people can write whatever they want, and other people read it and can critique it. And this first chapter of an idea that I didn't even know where it would go, it had a witch, it had magic, it was kind of a medieval setting, like was really popular on this website. So I just kept writing it, and I kept writing it, and then I loved it so much. And I ended with this novel that I was like, this is pretty cool. So I just decided, well, I'll just publish it. I was working as a home health nurse at the time. So I would do 12 hours a night shifts taking care of stable kids at home, which left me nothing to do. And I'm not a big movie person. So I would just write on my night shifts. And then eventually I published my first book, which is known as Miss Mabel School for Girls. And from there, it just kept expanding. That was 10 years ago last month. Last month was our 10th anniversary of Miss Mabel School for Girls launching. And I've lost track. I have something around 80 titles. Some of those are full novels, some of them are short stories, some are like novelettes. There's different ranges. I think some around 30 to 40 of them are novels. So it eventually I stopped working as a nurse, and I went full time to writing when I started having kids, when I had my son.
That's amazing. Wow, 80 titles. Holy smokes. That's super impressive. And personally, I'm thrilled, like from a very selfish point of view, because dragons, fantasy, like that is my escape as well. And my own childhood was not fun. There was a lot of difficulty there. And so escaping into a book was the salvation. You know, that was literally my sanity lived in those books. And you mentioned Matilda, so that's Roald Dahl. Love Roald Dahl. You know, his books were amazing and really spoke to kids, I think, that were having a tough time. So that's something, another thing we have in common. I think we're going to do this
So many good ones, yeah. All
a
the
lot
important
today.
ones too. It started with dragons and nurses. Those are the two best.
Right? Pretty wild. So where does your inspiration come from? Like, do you have a particular source, or does it just kind of flow?
So I believe firmly that inspiration comes from real life. So I just try to like live my life, and then I just pick up tidbits every now and then. Like, I'm developing a new series in a totally different fantasy world right now, and I decided to set it on this island nation instead of like a landlocked one. And I was like, what would be really fun? And I was like, what if pigs were like the size of cats, and they were really small, and they were really funny? And so I'll just kind of like be in my life, like asking questions, and then I adapt it into my fiction, which is what I think anchors it into something that means a lot to us, because there are hints of our life even in a fantasy world, and like the answers to questions that I ask come through the book. So I would say a lot of the inspiration for my stories in terms of like ideas and plots and that sort of stuff, I just kind of pluck from life as I'm living it in the mountains, right? I think of an idea and I ask myself questions. A lot of people confuse motivation and inspiration. I would say that the motivation is totally internal. I just have a extremely selfish desire and love of writing. Like I just always want to be writing. My brain is at its apex when I'm writing, so I want to do it all the time. So sometimes if I feel like there's no, I rarely feel like there's no inspiration because my motivation is so high. And so I never run out because my motivation is to always be writing. And so the inspiration, like I figure it out because I'm doing what I love the most. I don't know if that makes sense.
Yeah, actually, I totally get that. And I find it interesting that you said motivation and inspiration often get mixed up. And that, much as I am a behavior person, that hadn't occurred to me that people would confuse those two things, because motivation is basically why you're doing your thing, but the inspiration is where does your insight and your literally your inspiration come from? Like where did the ideas come from? And what I love that I heard you say is that you ask these wackadoodle questions, like what happens if pigs are the size of cats? Like, I don't know, but that's the kind of question I'd like to see an answer to. And are they jerks like cats?
Right.
Lucas, seriously, we have five dogs. So this is another thing that,
Oh, you have five and I have four. That's awesome.
we have five dogs, we have five cats, so I know they're jerks.
Got
And
it.
between us, we have five kids. So five is a number for
Yeah.
us. The kids aren't at home, but the cats and the dogs sure are. And I have a lot of questions about those animals and how they think and why they do what they do. So putting a pig into that sort of space, how fascinating. You could do a whole book just based on pigs, right? And some child would be utterly fascinated with it and might grow up to be a veterinarian or something. So
Yeah, you just never know, right? Like that's the beauty of the imagination is you just like anything can become something in a fantasy world. And so the result is this like opening of our creative mind. Like instead of feeling restricted, it's like I could literally write, I could pick up any idea and there would be 100,000 variables that I could pull into it to make it unique and special. And so it creates this like abundant mindset of I will never ever run out of ideas. Because like all I have to do is change a few variables and I have an entirely different world, an entirely different set of circumstances. Even if you're asking the same questions in a different environment, it's so fun to explore all of our life scenarios in these different worlds. Like as readers, right? You get it as a reader. It's like, well, I want to like explore these big human questions in a sci-fi environment versus I just really want to be with dragons today or whatever. It's just this unending flow of inspiration. The other thing that really surprises people too is I don't actually believe in writer's block. I think writers have a tendency for martyrdom for some reason. Like we like to make our life harder than it is because being a nurse actually helped me understand this better. Was I remember thinking one day, I never ever got nurse's block. Like I never like woke up one day and was like, ah. I think I forgot how to do an IV today. Like, I don't think I want to pass out meds or do an assessment. Like, that just never happened. Like, you just, like, motivation is a different question, but there's no, like, trucker's block out there. There's no, like, garbage man block. There's, like, people in the world don't just, like, get blocks, but writers, like, oh, I have writer's block. I can't figure this out. And it's like, no, you just, like, got to tackle that sucker. Like, you don't wait for inspiration. You just go make it. Like, you go find it. And I think that's where motivation and inspiration have an extremely fine line relationship.
I love what you just said. That is gold. So anybody listening to this podcast, after the podcast, go back a few minutes and hear that again. I mean, anything can become something. We can take that into the real world. It doesn't have to be in fantasy because, if you have the idea, you can make it happen if you really want it. I firmly believe that if you are focused, eyes on the prize, you'll get there because you'll figure it out. Where we often get stuck is in the how. And I think that's true with people who think they have writer's block. Now, you've met my husband. He's a writer. And he also says there's no such thing as writer's block. It's just not possible. You're either writing or you're doing something else to do with writing. You're working in the process. You don't always have to be putting words on a page. But writer's block, I've never known him have it. He insists it doesn't exist. So I'm right there with you that I've never seen it. And you mentioned nurse's block. Like I'm thinking back to when I was a nurse, and holy smokes, it would never occur to me to get in my own way and say, I don't know how to do a blood pressure or where does the needle go? Like, no, you wouldn't even stop and think about that. And yet people expect it for writers. And I think it's because it's such a creative process and nobody can put a pin in it, right? It's
Right.
really hard to say, well, this is where you start, this is where you stop, this is where it comes from. It's tough to put a writer in a box.
It's a really good point you make. Like, and you've verbalized something I've been chewing on lately. It's like you can't really put a pin in creativity because I get people asking me all the time. Yeah, I launch a new novel every month. I wish I could do it every week. It is every month.
Oh, I said every week, didn't
No,
I?
you're totally fine. You're totally fine. I do a new novel every month, and people are always like, "Well, how do you have ideas? Like, how do you come up with it?" And I always have to say, "I don't know. Like, it's just part of who I am. Like, it's me living in my best state. It's like Katie in her power is me just cranking out stories like a mad woman because it makes me happy. Like, I feel good when I'm doing it, right?"
It's called being in flow.
Yes, it is. It is totally
I,
flow state. Yes, I,
yeah,
that's
I
so
do human
cool.
design. And with human
Oh,
design,
okay.
if you're in your flow, then things are effortless. That's the beauty of it. I'm
That's
going to
it.
have to stop us right now because holy smokes, we're at our first break already. This seems to happen every week, but it's like, how did we get there now? So thank you for listening. Don't go away. We have so much more with Katie Cross, and she's going to tell you some amazing things that you can find at her website. So just hang in there, stay with us, and hear more about fantasy and dragons and how you can access that for yourself. See you in a minute.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
Are you a subject matter expert? Are you here to share your expertise with an audience waiting to hear from you in only the way you can deliver? Are you ready to have your voice amplified across the airwaves? Inspired Choices Network has a global radio platform streaming to millions of people across the world. Professionally produced and supported by an accomplished team every step of the way, you can broadcast from anywhere in the world, knowing your voice matters, and we ensure it is delivered with ease and efficiency. Eager to hear your message, the world awaits. Contact us today to become an Inspired Choices Network radio host. Email becomeahost@inspiredchoicesnetwork.com.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at inspiredchoicesnetwork.com. You can also send an email to mickey@gaffinstone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Navigating Complicated Relationships. And if you would like to send me an email, Mickey is M-I-K-K-I, because I'm not a mouse, at gaffinstone.com, G-A-F-F-E-N, stone like a rock, .com. And you'll find me, and I'm very responsive. And before I get back into this conversation that I'm enjoying so much with Katie, I'd like you, Katie, to tell people where they find you and what they'll find at your website and, you know, how to contact you, all the good things, because I think they're going to want to.
Yeah. So go to katiecrossbooks.com, and up at the top of the page, there's going to be a box. If you put your email in there, I'll get you my first Dragon Master book. So it's my first dragon book set in a young adult fantasy world for free. So the delivery email will have a link to the ebook and a link to the audiobook. So if you want both, if you want either or, you'll get to try it out and see what you think about it without any risk. You don't have to buy it first. I guarantee you're going to like it if you like dragons. It's very much like dragon rider, high fantasy, medieval, big magic. I always say epic magic, wild places is like my tagline. And that's exactly what you get in the Dragon Master trilogy.
I love it. I absolutely love it. And before the break, we were talking about inspiration coming from all around you and in your life. And funnily enough, I was listening to the advertisement stuff going on in the break. And one of the things that it mentions is human interactions are anything but straightforward. And I thought, that's seriously true. So in the fantasy world, are you able, do you think, to resolve issues that occur in real life? You can put it into fantasy and actually get better answers?
Oh, for sure. So I think part of the big power of fiction, particularly fantasy, and of course dragons, is that the problems have an end, right? So we read a book, and for the most part, depending, in general, whatever problems the characters are facing that you're sort of experiencing through this character, resolves. There's some kind of ending to it. There's some sort of closure that comes when you close that book and go into your next one. And I think using that as a processing point is really powerful, both for the author and for the reader, right? I think sometimes we're drawn to particular stories because of whatever we're chewing on in our minds, and those characters kind of help us level that out, whatever it is we want. Like when I was a kid and I wanted to feel like I belonged somewhere, I'd read Harry Potter because I wanted to go to Hogwarts, right? And you feel like your friend's there, and you're like a big, you're a champion, like Harry, that sort of thing. So I do think there's a sense of resolution that we get from fiction, as especially as readers and authors probably too, as we explore these questions that we maybe don't get in real life, because we get to control the variable. As the author, I get to control the variables under which these conflicts and solutions and whatever occur. And sometimes through that, I always end up learning quite a bit, either about myself or just life in general, or what my readers are responding to, that kind of thing.
Right. No, that sounds amazing. You know, I was just listening to that, though, and thinking, yeah, I bet that would be a really good place to resolve some issues that happen in real life, whether it's to you or just something you're aware of. Like, if I could control, you know, I mean, we're in a world on fire right now is certainly one way to look at it. So if you took some of those fires and put them into fantasy and then resolved them, I can see that that would feel like some kind of power that, you know, maybe we don't feel we have in real life, but you can access it through fantasy and like fix that thing that's really driving you nuts. And for kids reading, not just kids, but, you know, I'm thinking of when I was a voracious reader as a teen, and, you know, they kept trying to boot me out of my bedroom and I wouldn't come out because I didn't want to people. I wanted to read. That was more fun and it was much easier to navigate. Yeah. And, you know, having things resolved, you know, big things that would then get resolved in this book, just felt like something had resolved in my life, you know.
It's very we like draw a certain amount of courage from stepping into a book, becoming that main character, especially if it's one that really speaks to us, and seeing them go through like all these hardships and survive and come out the other side, you know. And like, if the author does it right, they can build a sense of like empathy and connection with this character that places you in that position and maybe like gives us the courage to go back into the world again. I just had a reader, I get this email all the time, probably close to every day, from different people, but a reader just emailed me last night and said, I just bought this book, thank you so much for it, I love your books, I just found out I was diagnosed with cancer and I needed something to take me away from the cancer talk for just a little bit, and Alcara does that for me. And I hear that all the time, right? Like, they're trying to like find that bit of courage to turn around and face whatever they can't get away from in real life, but they just aren't quite ready for, you know? So like, they fall asleep reading, they listen to audiobooks while they're cleaning, whatever it is. It's, I feel like it's one of the highest and holiest callings I have to be able to like spin these tales that create resolution we don't get in real life, but also that escapism that gives us the courage to start back into life again.
Absolutely. It's a form of therapy. I mean, seriously, if you're dealing with stuff in your life and you can't get a break, or it feels that way, and everybody wants to focus in on the thing that you really don't want to look at right now because, you know, you're not there yet. And just having that fantasy to escape into is, I think, one of the most valuable things you can have access to. And I know certainly from my personal experience, it's been a lifesaver, you know, in many ways, that just able to put down the mess of today and pick up a book and just go in there for a while and be that hero that goes through all the trials but comes out the other side. You know, there's hope there. It's like, thank you. So, you know, I think it really is a high and holy calling. Like, it's amazing that you do this. And I love that you do this. What has your favorite book? Now, this is going to be tough because it's like saying, this is my favorite kid. Well, that's my favorite dog. But what's your favorite book so far and why? It's not a tough question, right?
Not at all. No, I have a different answer for this every single time I answer, which is cool. So great, right? I think that's really cool. One of the books that sticks, one of the favorites that sticks out in my mind today is, well, I mentioned Matilda earlier, because Matilda was one of those stories where, as a bookish, quiet, awkward kind of kid, I like totally identified with Matilda, right? I had an absent father. I was super excited to like find someone in books that didn't jive with her father. And, you know, like it was just good. Like it was good to have Matilda. But another book that is kind of out of nowhere, I've hardly ever mentioned this before, is Vanity Fair. It's this like ginormo, like sort of classic, quote unquote classic of a book. But that was one of the first books. I read Les Mis unabridged when I was in high school. Like, I was just devouring books. But Vanity Fair was one of those books, just ginormous, huge stories where I wasn't so sure I liked the main character. Like, I
Right.
didn't necessarily read that because I identified strongly with one of the main characters, but it was this huge tome that I just sank into, and it required me to stop being a nurse to sink into it. And I would like sit on the porch and read it in the sunshine, and it was something that slowed me down, got me into a different headspace. I didn't identify with that character, and the reason that sticks out for me to mention to you today is it helped me like think differently about situations than I would have thought, because the main character is different than me, right? And I think that's the other gift that fiction gives to us, is not only is there a sense of escapism and courage that we have in it, but maybe someone's going through the exact same thing we are, but they're choosing the different path. And so we could either empathize with them or say, yep, not doing that, but it opens your mind and helps you see other things different ways. So that one comes to mind. I really liked Vanity Fair. But I'm also a big Tolstoy fan and Laura Ingalls Wilder. And I just read A Court of Thorns and Roses. And I'm like, normally not into high fae, but I'm kind of jiving it. And I'm reading Name of the Wind by What's His Face. Anyway, there's so many. There's so many.
Okay, I don't actually know that last one you mentioned.
Oh, his name escapes me. I know I'll think of it when it doesn't matter. It'll come to me. He's known for not finishing his books.
Oh, is that the guy that did Game of Thrones?
No, but
Because he
he's
doesn't finish them either.
yeah, he's adjacent to him. So people that tend to like Game of Thrones like this guy. Anyway, I can't remember. It'll come to me for sure. But it's my first time reading him because I hear about him all the time, and I'm still developing an opinion on it.
Okay. Well, anybody listening in, if you have the answer to that question, then send it to us. Oh, somebody just said Franz Kafka.
No. I would know if I'll know when someone says it,
Okay. Well, if
but
you have any
yeah.
ideas, come and put it in chat or message one of us and let us know which author you think that is.
Oh, Patrick Rothfuss. Patrick Rothfuss. That's who it is.
Okay.
Like a
Well,
high medieval fantasy, and it's very like Tolkien-esque and very kind of like warbling and slow moving. And it like he's telling a story of his life, and so I'm trying, I'm going with it for now, seeing how I like it.
okay. I have found, I think this was something school put me off, but one of the books that I had to read at school was Howards End by E.M. Forster.
Okay.
And holy smokes, it took 50 chapters to get to the end of the driveway. Like, come on, people. I discovered that I do not have what it takes to read a book that is so slow and ponderous that you have to be invested in this sucker to get halfway through before anything happens. And it's like, nope, that's not me. I need the dragons now, and I want
I need
witches.
fire, I need destruction, I need dragon wings.
I think I need things blowing up. I need cauldrons being stirred. I need witches with attitude. Like, I need some stuff happening. And 50 chapters to get to the end of the driveway does not do it for me. And I also pick out if there's continuity errors, and these days I find not everybody gets their stuff edited, but that's another conversation.
Whole
However,
thing, yeah, that's the whole thing.
it'll just put me off completely if I can't follow it because they've jumped like gender or location or the books that jump backwards and forwards in time.
Right.
Those can be really problematic, but that's my style of reading, right? For the writer that wants to do that, sure, that's cool. I'm not going to read you though.
This is not a good fit, right? And that's okay.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, we can't all resonate with the same books, but I have to say, I saw your very first book because you've brought that out again with this beautiful new artwork. That's the first book, right?
Yeah, that's Miss Mabel School for Girls. You're talking about the Kickstarter, right? Like the special edition. Yeah, that was the first one. That's the one that we just had the 10th anniversary. So we did a special edition hardcover Kickstarter to kind of launch a big surprise.
Yeah, no, that is a thing of beauty. Now it's a work of art and a book.
Yes, it
So.
really is a masterpiece. And I can only take credit for the words inside that masterpiece, but all the other people that like the printer and the designers and the illustrator, that is like their baby. They should be so super proud of how it looks. It's amazing.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of things that go into producing a book in as well as just the words, but we're going to have to get into that after yet another break, because that's 15 minutes gone by so fast. So Stay tuned. You are listening to me, Michaela Gaffin-Stone, and my amazing guest, Katie Cross, author extraordinaire. And we will be back in just a moment after this break.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com.
How wonderful would it be to carry your favorite Inspired Choices Network host with you throughout your day? Well, now you can. Inspired Choices Network now has its very own mobile app. Our free app offers live streaming shows, along with thousands of podcasts and TV episodes. Our shows cover a wide variety of topics. Whether you're waking up with us, carrying us through the day, and taking us to bed with you, we're always here for you to enjoy. We're easy to find. Just search for Inspired Choices Network in the Apple App Store or Google Play Store.
This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad you're here. You're listening to me, Michaela Gaffin-Stone, and my wonderful guest, Katie Cross, who is author extraordinaire of one new book a month, not every week, which is what I very enthusiastically said at the beginning, but, you know, so cool. And that's still really prolific. I mean, holy smokes, that's a lot. Now, something I wanted to bring up was I'm into human behavior. I've been looking at human behavior since I was a toddler, and I needed to know what the adults in my life were going to do next. So I needed to be able to predict their behaviors. And then as I got older, I got curious about why people do what they do, and still predictive, right? Where they're going to go next, what they're going to do. So when I'm reading a book, I can't help but have some of that going on as well, where, you know, this character's behaving this way. What are they going to go do next? When do you decide, or do you decide, how this character that you're writing is going to behave and how they're going to interact with the other characters? Does it develop, or is this something you go in knowing where you're going with this? You know, earlier we mentioned someone on TV on The Storage Wars, and the guy's name's Dave Hester, and he's out there as somebody who's really not very nice, very growly and shouty and all the things. And I met the man, and he's a delight. Like, he's lovely. Sorry, people who want to, you know, think how awful he is, but he's lovely. I'd hang out with him anytime. So, you know, how do you decide, and do you decide, how your characters are going to behave and interact?
Yeah, this is a really fun question because it makes me sound a little crazy, but I think that your audience is going to really like this. So Alcara is my fantasy world, and all of my fantasy books, except for a couple, are based in Alcara. We just keep expanding the universe as my readers request more books. And I always say that Alcara belongs to all of us is one of my big taglines. Like, it's not just mine, and Alcara will speak to anybody. Like, my illustrator, she's in Australia. She'll message me and say, hey, I just picked up like some gnomes. Like, what are you thinking about? Or something. Like, she just had an idea for like doing these gnomes and all this kind of stuff. So I'm always like, well, Alcara will tell you, whatever. I just always say that I was the one that got out of the way for the stories to come. So usually when I approach a story, I have a question in mind, or I have an idea. Like, what if this girl that raises dragons the size of butterflies has to go on a quest to save her brother and the dragons? Like, how does that, what would that look like? What would intersect between those two worlds? I'll just start with a question, and I develop a usually like 8 to 10 page outline of the basic major plot points and movement of the story so that I know where it's going. I don't need details. I don't need to get in depth. And in fact, if I get too in depth and too many details, it sort of takes away the magic of the next phase, but I have to have some idea of where the story's going. So I'll get that plot out, and then the real magic happens. And I have like three or four lines and I know, okay, I've got to start this next scene and I have an idea, a very vague idea of what needs to happen. And then I get to, it's what people that are writers call pantsing, where you fly by the seat of your pants and
it's
you like,
Adam does.
Yeah. So I have an outline for the whole story and then I pants every scene. So there's like a sense of discovery and magic. So I never actually do know exactly what my characters are going to do, because sometimes I'm like, I don't know, like I'm just going to go into the scene trusting that I'll figure it out and it will come to me. And sometimes I'm literally typing words without any idea what the next word will be. Because again, you go after inspiration, you don't wait for it, you just find it and you make it. And sometimes I have to sit back and just stare at my screen. So I think I eventually just find what these characters are going to do. And sometimes they surprise me. Like there was this one character in another book where I very clearly had a plan for him. I was like, no, this is really what I want you to do. And every time I wrote it, I just couldn't do it. It just didn't feel right. So I was finally like, fine. We'll do this your way. So I just like got a new page and I was actually talking to my computer and I just started writing it this other way that kept intruding. And it was a way better path. It was much better for that character. I just didn't see it. So I sort of like entertain them in my head and I just get an idea of what's happening. And then I just kind of let it flow. I get into that flow state and I see what happens. And I think that's the real magic, is when I have an idea of who they are, but then the characters show me who they really are.
Very cool. Yeah, Adam does something similar, and he doesn't so much stare at the computer screen as he just has this, I can see he's got these conversations going on in his head, and I'm not in there right now, so I just leave him with it. You know, and the characters are kind of having a conversation, telling him where he's going to go, and he just sits down and starts typing. And I love watching that process. It's unique to the individual, and nobody else can really butt in and do anything about that. You know, it's just, this is your world and it has to come out into the book. So yeah. Have you ever ended up creating a character that you really didn't like?
Yes, in terms of like, most of them are sometimes my villains. I actually tend to genuinely kind of care about my villains, because I see the humanity in everyone, but that doesn't necessarily make them great people. I think, but there's one character. She's the main villain in my first book, Miss Mabel. So Miss Mabel School for Girls is the title. Miss Mabel is the main villain, and I just went back through and re-narrated that whole, like, the first five books of that 8-book series. And so I just like got to sink in really deeply with those books, and it was like really great to revisit her and just how terrible she really was. And I said to my readers, I was like, I generally have love for most of my characters, but I just really don't like Mabel. Like I just can't bring myself to like her. Like I want to care about her, but I just don't. She's just pretty mean.
Okay. Well, that's fair enough. And I think there's a really good place for characters like that, because sometimes in life there's somebody that has, or we perceive they have power over us, and we really don't like them. And you know, you just can't get around that. And so it's lovely to be able to read something where you can say, yeah, you, I don't like you.
I don't like you, period.
Yeah. So, you know, I think it's, I would have been very curious if you'd said, no, I like all of my characters, because that's not how life goes. And yes, I know you're writing fantasy, but it's still life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still something that we're going to relate to and be in that world when you're reading it. So, you know, having everybody so lovable and likable would be, I don't know. I don't think I've read a book like that yet.
Yeah, I think, too, there's not as much escapism in that, because you just can't fully immerse yourself in a world that is perfect. Like we're looking for help and escapism, sure. But there's a line where it's just like, this is not relatable now.
Right. So when do you decide, or how do you decide to sort of change direction, either within that universe or maybe write something outside of that universe? Is that something that, you know, is interesting to you, to write something that's not in Alkara?
Yeah, for sure. So within Alkara, my readers actually vote. So I will say, hey, these are four projects that I'm interested in. And whether it's four different series or four different individual novels or a combination of both, I'll just say, like, what do you think? Like, what one do you want the most? They get to rank their top, like by top four. So let's say I want this one most, this one second. And then I look at the data and then I say, okay, this is the one that most people want the most. We're gonna go for this one. And I'll write that book. And it's a pretty easy setup because it's a story that I put forward as wanting to write, right? So it's not like I'm letting them dictate the whole path. So many people are like, you should never let your readers tell you what to write. And I'm like, well, disagree. But so they do that. And then I'm a phenomenal businesswoman. I really love the business side of things, even if I only want to do like an hour of business a day and I want the rest to be writing. So there is typically times when I can step back and just kind of analyze all of my data and just look at what are my trends, what are my reports, how are things going, does this feel good, like what am I projecting for the next year, for the next production schedule. And then I'll usually say when. Will it be more than just all Cara? Because from a business perspective, it's not wise to have all my eggs in the single basket. But also, like, I'm having so much fun and it's feeling so good, I don't feel like I'm in a rush to get out of it. And so I have several different projects in the works where I am kind of introducing whether collaborations outside of Alcara or other things outside of Alcara and just testing the waters. And then I have some other kind of big things moving in the background, potentially with just a different model of publishing. So I'm always looking for the opportunity and I'm open for the opportunity, but I'm not actually like seeking it out. I'm just letting it come to me, if that makes sense.
Oh, it absolutely makes sense. Now, people who have listened to my podcast before will know that I do human design as well as behavior analysis. So it's like I got science, I got the more woo, but actually I call that a living science because I tell you the things, you go test them. So you wear the white coat, I don't have to, right? But with human design, it's all about allowing your natural energy to flow and your natural creativity in a way that works best for you. And you are a beautiful example of somebody who does that. And this is what you produce, is these books that not only resonate with you, but your fans get involved and they can help you pick out which one you're going to do next. And going to behavior analysis, that's actually called forced choice, which is you can have any one of these things. I pre-approve them all. Now you get to choose. And that's a great way to, work with kids for a start off to teach them decision making, but it's also a great way to make sure that nobody's pulling you out of your direction or what you want to do. So I think that's pure genius to involve your fans and the people who are going to be reading what you write and giving them some options. That's like, how many authors do that? I love that.
It makes it really collaborative and really fun because then they're just so excited for the stories, right? And so am I. So then I write these stories, I'm so excited about them. So when it goes into the world, I know they're excited about them because they voted for it. And the whole like book club that we do, and we do Coffee with Katie calls, and we have all kinds of like emails and Facebook posts and Instagram, we have all that stuff that just gets really fun and exciting because we're all getting what we want, right? And so everyone feels good. It's so
I
fun.
love it. And your readers are invested.
Yeah,
So
very
what I
much.
need you to do now is tell people, how can they get into all of this with you? Like, where do they email you? What's this thing, Coffee with Katie? Like, how does somebody get into that? I
Yes.
could spend some time doing that.
Yeah, so I am in my own inbox, Katie at kcrosswriting.com or info at katiecrossbooks.com. Either of those would work. There's also a contact form on my website, katiecrossbooks.com. You can submit that. You can email me, introduce yourself, let me know you came from here. I love meeting new people, especially dragon lovers. If you love magic, if you love dragons, we're gonna be friends. If you're on Facebook, I'm at Facebook. It's facebook.com/groups/thenetworkseries, or you can just type in The Witchery or Katie Cross, and that's my big Facebook group. There's over 2,000 people in there. The Witchery is a joke from my first series, the Miss Mabel School for Girls series. These three friends like form a just like a really good friendship, and they live in a turret, and they call it The Witchery. So we have the Witchery Facebook group, and then I'm on Instagram. It's at K Cross Writing if you want to join any of that.
That sounds awesome. And I love there's so many places for people to find you and go check out your books and even listen to one, have a look at one before they decide, is this something I want to leap into? Because the thing with fantasy world is you get in there, it can be hard to come out again,
Yes.
My husband will tell anybody that cares to listen that if I'm reading a book, and I'm into the book. He can talk to me. I don't hear him. He can be, you know, he can walk in and out of the room, wave in front of my face, and I'm just like, I'm in the book. I'm not present. So, you know, when you get in there, you really get in there, which is, you know, that's the hallmark of a really good book, I would say.
Yeah,
so
well,
I'm glad
we share
people
that
can find
too.
you.
Yeah, we share that too. I totally get into my books when I'm reading. My husband gets a little exasperated, I think.
I'm sure we're pretty awful company when we're just like,
Yeah,
you
for
know,
sure.
gone. But
Worth it.
anyway,
Worth it.
we have another break. These things keep coming up. So don't go away. Keep listening to myself and Katie Cross, because we have more to talk about. That's all magic. There's nothing heavy going on here today. And you can just enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. We will see you in just a minute.
What if your relationships could be a source of delight instead of a source of struggle? In a world where human interactions are anything but straightforward, tuning in to Navigating Complicated Relationships with behavior expert Michaela Gaffin-Stone will offer you insights, tools, and a whole new level of understanding for you to use right now. Listen for Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone, Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. This is Navigating Complicated Relationships with Michaela Gaffin-Stone. To participate in the program, join the live studio audience in our chat room at InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. You can also send an email to Mickey@GaffinStone.com. Now back to the program.
Welcome back, everyone. I'm so glad you're still listening, because we ain't done yet. And if you are going to email me, it's Mickey, M-I-K-K-I, at Gaffin, G-A-F-F-E-N, Stone, S-T-O-N-E, .com. So do email me. I love to hear what you think about what's going on. I love to hear what you would like in the next podcast episode or two. Give me your input. What do you love? What would you like less of? What do you want more of? All those good things. And next week's show, we're changing back to some of the nutrition and the food psychology of why we overeat, because there is a lot going on there. And if you've listened to me before, you'll know I have a lot to say on this subject. So there's more coming up next week. Meanwhile, Katie Cross, my lovely guest, who was very kind to agree to come on the show. I'm so happy that you're here. What would you say to, let's start early, a teen or a tween that is interested in writing and maybe thinks nobody wants to read what they're writing? Because I think at that age particularly, we do tend to go through this sort of, I don't have anything that anybody else is going to want to deal with or to see. You know, how would you get that aspiring writer to recognize that, well, actually, maybe you do. Let's
yeah.
See, try something.
I love this question, because I was really interested in writing all my life. But in seventh grade, I had to write a story for one of my classes, and my teacher really loved it. And she was asking me about it. And I was like, I loved everything about this process. Like, what do I do? How do I become a writer? And she was like, I don't know. She's like, read a lot. And she introduced me to Harry Potter series. So that was cool of her. But like, no one knew what to tell me. And so I just sort of like let it go as an option. So I love answering this question. The number one thing that I would say is just lean into the love. As cheesy as that sounds. So if you are an aspiring writer or you just love writing, I think the number one thing about that phase before it like becomes a career is just, if you love doing it, just like write from your heart. Because I am so surprised when I go back to read my early writing, when it was all passion writing, like I can just feel the heart in it. Like I can just like remember so much. And I wish I had leaned into that with more permission to just like love the process, love the story, love what I'm writing, like not put boundaries on myself and just write. I had like 150 different stories started, right? Because I just had all these ideas and I would just start a story and I would go to it another day whenever I felt like it. And that was totally okay. So you can have a lot of stories, lean into the love. And then if you do want to take this seriously, like you want to look at it as like a potential career option or want to move forward with the manuscript that you have, I would always look into like your local library might have writing groups or might know of writing groups. There are a lot of online writing groups that go through like Zoom that you can join up with. There's Facebook groups with other authors that you can like log into and just lurk through there if you're looking for technical help. But in the end, it's hard to understand as like a young writer, especially a teenager, that our own voices are so important, right? It's hard for all of us to take ownership of that gift and that light inside of us. But the way, I think one of the best ways to put this is that that reason that we seek out books, especially people that love to write, usually love to read, that like search for belonging, that search for courage, that search for fantasy, for dragons, like that is something that someone else is going to experience. And you're like seeking a light right now. And then one day you get to be the light bringer, but you're never going to be the light bringer if you don't ever trust yourself to get there. Right. And so I don't want people to be like hiding that light that will one day burn so brightly if they just continue to work at it and love it. And it starts like in those beginning stages of just allowing yourself to love it, to find those paths, and to appreciate that you are as valuable as anyone else in this. Like, we all started somewhere.
I love that. I think that's absolutely beautiful advice. And what I want to add to that is get out of your head and into your heart, as you were saying, because we tend to make things mean something, or we want a particular outcome. And I think when you're in a creative process, who knows what that outcome looks like? You know, you just have to go with the flow and see where that takes you. And I think that's so important, because particularly as teens, we're very self-conscious and very concerned about what other people think. So, you know, if you are a writer, and you'll know in your heart if you really want to do this, if you have that imagination and other people have said, you know, you're crazy, or you shouldn't do this, shouldn't do that, don't let them should on you. Like, literally bring out that imagination and put it into a form that other people can access, because I'm with Katie. I think we need this. Your voice is important for other people to hear. And how are we going to hear you if you don't start somewhere? So I think that's really important.
I think too, the word that you and I are looking for here is almost like it's surrender, right? Like, in order to really get into flow, you just kind of have to surrender to not maybe knowing the outcome, as you said, to not knowing if anyone's going to like it, to not knowing if it's even good or not. But you just have to sort of like have a fearless sense of surrender to, I don't know, but we're going to find out, right? Like, I'm going to trust, I'm going to try, and then like turn yourself to it.
Absolutely. And sometimes if you are showing your work to someone and they give you a less than delightful response to it, bear in mind that they simply might be the incorrect audience for what you're writing. It might not be a problem with what you're writing. It's just a mismatch. And I think that's another piece too. So we just have a couple of minutes left. What would you like to say to people who haven't come across your books yet, to invite them into the world of Alcara?
Oh, prepare yourself.
Oh, I love that.
There are three big entry points into Alcara. So you can start with Miss Mabel School for Girls, which is my first one. That's my most popular flagship series. That's what most people know me for. That's what has the most like traction in bookstores and Hollywood and that stuff. But the Dragon Master Trilogy, which you can start on my website, is where my readers say it's the funnest part to start into Alcara, because you kind of start at the beginning of the timeline and then you can work all the way through, just book after book after book goes in order. I sort of wrote it from the middle out. So Bianca's the middle. I went back in time. I went back to Bianca. I went back in time. I went forward, you know, so it's like, it's just kind of all over the place. If you like to read in order, Flame is it. And what you can really prepare yourself for is epic magic in wild places. I'm very much like connected to nature, like in terms of, I live in the mountains. I love to be outside with my kids. So there's a lot of like really big epic places in these stories. There's friendships, there's adventure, there's, everyone is a witch. Witches are just people. Everyone can do big magic. There's dragons, there's creatures, there's anything that you could hope for in a like medieval fantasy setting. That's the world of Alcara. And it's a place to belong. It's a place to go to find your courage again. Not only that, but when you start reading Alcara, if you interact with me at all anywhere online, there's like this world, I call them Alcarans. You'll especially see in a Facebook group, there's just this like slew of people that love and always come back to Alcara. We meet up on Coffee with Katie calls on Zoom for like an hour on Friday at noon and Monday evenings. We're having to pause that while my kids are in baseball and soccer season, because I like help coach and I'm going to games and stuff. But especially during the school year, we'll do Coffee with Katie, where we all just meet together and it's just like this big fun friend session. And then we do Book Hub the third Friday of every single month.
Wow.
The book that was launched that first Friday, we discuss 2 weeks later and everyone gets together. So
Katie, this has been amazing. And I have to bring us to a conclusion because we're kind of pretty much out of time, which is a crying shame. But thank you so much for coming. And people, go find Katie's books and dive in.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Navigating Complicated Relationships show. Michaela returns Wednesdays at 12 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Central, 10 a.m. Mountain, 9 a.m. Pacific on InspiredChoicesNetwork.com. Until then, remember every relationship is a journey, and with the right tools, you can create stronger, more fulfilling connections.